Well, welcome back, everybody. I'm excited to be here today at Regions Bank in beautiful Birmingham, Alabama. My guest is Dan Massey. Dan is the Chief Enterprise Operations Officer and the Chief Technology Officer here at Regions Bank. Dan oversees a powerhouse 5,000 person team, which I know he is very proud of and is going to talk a lot about today, all that they're doing to really power the bank. Dan's also part of the executive leadership team here at Regions Bank, which is an important part of his remit as well. But I want to dig in. We have a lot of ground to cover, and so I want to thank Dan, the team here, for your hospitality and for hosting me here in Birmingham. So, Dan, thanks so much.
Absolutely.
Appreciate it very much.
It's great to have you here, Dan. Honored to be on Tech Whispers with such a great group of people. I've listened to a number of them. You do a great job, and I learn a lot every time. So thanks for coming to Birmingham and seeing some of the region's magic.
It's beautiful here. Yeah. I am really glad to be here. So, you know, and by the way, this is the Tech Whispers Yeti because we've got to keep our guests hydrated, right?
So thank you very much.
A little memory for today.
Fantastic.
But yeah, thanks for doing this, Dan. So, you know, people who know you well from prior lives say you're an incredibly loyal person. Mm-hmm. You are not one to politic for a job. You're like, tell me what we need to do and I'm going to go do it. And they never thought you'd leave. Like quarter century, you were there. And
yeah,
so
what
was it that really brought you here to Regions?
Well, it's an interesting story. First of all, I am very loyal and I've always believed that focusing on the job that you're in and really knocking the ball out of the park is the best thing you can possibly do for the company and for your career. My experience is whenever you do that well, good things come for all involved. So that's definitely been my philosophy. I am very loyal. Spent about 30 years with my prior company through a few merger transitions. And in fact, a bit of a legacy situation because my dad worked for the company, that prior company, for about 29 years before he retired in the early 2000s. So it was a big deal for me to make that transition. Part of what set up that opportunity is that I had made some commitments to the prior company to get through a couple of key milestones related to some merger activity, and I was able to do that, so I felt good about fulfilling that commitment. And about that time, this opportunity for Regions came along, and a dear friend of mine and colleague, very respected and trusted, Anna Bracken, had made the transition over to Regions a couple of years prior to that, and she had talked to me about the amazing culture at Regions. So I was definitely intrigued by that. Also, it's an opportunity for me to have my first C-level role. And as we talk about the remit, it's a really exciting role that has technology, operations, data and analytics, and digital kind of combined together. So it's a great opportunity. I came into Birmingham, met the executive leadership team, and was blown away by the commitment to culture, the strategic focus, the collaborative nature of the team. And just want to thank John, my peers on the executive leadership team, my direct reports for a fantastic welcome and a really good run so far.
Well, I got a chance to meet some of them last night at dinner.
Thanks for
having me for dinner. And what an impressive group of people. You're bragging on them all the time.
Yeah, that's right.
Talk about that remit and how valuable that is to the bank, your customers, your people, by having operations and technology together.
Yeah, so I really do think that these are, they're distinct functions, but they are highly interrelated and unlock a lot of creativity around how do we solve problems for the business units and they're pursuing their strategy, which it's all based in the business strategy and really connecting with customers. So a good example of that is this concept of omni-channel servicing, something that in the banking industry, a lot of people aspire to. It's really hard to achieve. And we are on our way to realizing that, initially using data and analytics to assess what are the needs of the customer. We have a voice of the customer orientation. We're analyzing feedback and all kinds of methods to understand where are potential friction points. We've then invested in a omni-channel servicing platform we call the Customer Engage platform, that can create up-to-the-minute interactions across all of our channels, whether you're in digital, ATM, calling a contact center, walking into a bank branch, talking to an advisor. Folks have a consistent view of what's going on with that customer. And the ability to extend that to the contact center, which involves operations, those bankers, into digital, into mobile app, you know, online banking, things like that. It just shows the intersection of all of these disciplines and how they can really come together to solve pressing needs for the company. So it's an exciting remit for sure.
Amazing. So you'd be very upset with me if I didn't ask you to talk about your team. 5,000 colleagues.
Yes.
You brag on them every time we talk.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And so talk about the work they're doing. Why are you so proud of them? You've achieved some big wins since you've been here.
Yeah. First of all, it's an incredibly dedicated team, very purpose-oriented. I will say one of the superpowers, and I know you like to use that phrase, mm-hmm. one of the superpowers of Regions is the culture. And fundamentally, that means the people, right? Even though we work with technology and AI and all these kind of cool emerging things, it's fundamentally still about the people that make those things happen. We have great business partners that we work with, really collaborative, best I've ever had in my career. And then the folks within the tech ops, digital and data organization, they're passionate, they're smart, good folks, focused on the customer. And it's really neat to see them come together and solve a lot of these pressing needs that we have in a really creative way. In fact, we've started to do something recently where we recognize a most valuable associate, about three each quarter, within the Tech Ops Digital and Data organization to highlight, you know, some examples of these folks applying creative problem solving, innovative thinking to solve some of these problems. So it is a fantastic team. I'm very proud to be a part of it.
Will that happen in the town hall today?
It will.
Oh, I can't wait.
That's
right.
Can't
wait. So, you know, we go out and we find some people who know you well.
Yeah.
The mystery questioners. So we've got some fun ones teed up here.
Okay.
I've got a colleague from your prior life, and what really struck me when he was asking this question is, you love this business. It's in your DNA.
Yes.
And I don't mean technology. I mean bank. You're a banking guy.
Yes.
Right?
That's right.
So let's hear this first question and then maybe give a little bit more context when we come back.
Sure.
While Dan Massey may be one of the most caring banking executives I've ever worked with, I'm fairly certain that it runs in his blood. Dan has shared a story with me in the past where his father helps out a client at a broken ATM and makes sure that that client was taken care of at the end of the day, and shares often how that was one of the moments that actually shaped him to wanting to become the man that he is today in our industry.
That is Ken Meyer.
Yes, sir.
Ken is one of the most dynamic, driven, people-oriented leaders. That means a lot coming from Ken, so thank you for that. And I know exactly the story he's talking about. Ken and I have been in a lot of trenches together, kind of working through things, and I've had a chance to tell the story a couple of times. But this was a moment that really defined a lot for me around accountability and service. I'll tell it briefly. I was 15 years old, going out with my dad on a Saturday to run some errands, one of which was to deposit a check at the ATM. So we pull up. I stay in the car as a typical sullen teenager, not wanting to participate in anything, and I watch him go up. There's another gentleman at the ATM. They have a little bit of an animated conversation. I see my father take out his wallet, hand something to the gentleman, and return back to the car without depositing the check. So I'm watching this from the windshield, can't hear anything, fascinated. So dad gets back in the car and I say, what happened? And he said, well, I am responsible for the ATM network for the bank, and this ATM is down, and this gentleman is having a family emergency and needed cash. So I gave him the cash that he needed. I gave him my business card, said, if you can pay me back, great. If not, don't worry about it. And it was a hugely impactful moment for me around accountability and service and what it means to take care of customers. And as a 15-year-old, that's just a lesson that stuck with me to this very day. And I still anchor around that type of sentiment. And we lost dad a little bit over a year ago, but he has affected so many lives in such a positive way that his memory and spirit certainly lives on. And I will take the opportunity to shout out my mom, who is still with us, thankfully, and taught me a lot also over the years about how to relate to people and really understand them and connect. So I've been very fortunate to learn all of this as I've grown up.
Great legacy there. Do you know if dad ever got paid back?
I don't, actually.
Doesn't matter.
And it didn't matter at all. That's right, exactly.
I love it. Well, Ken, thank you for your question. And, you know, he went on to kind of tongue in cheek share a little story about the first interaction. You put him in a closet in Richmond to work or something. Is it? You remember this?
I did. It was we were doing one of the earlier transformation initiatives in my career, and space was at a premium. And Ken was working at the time with Accenture, actually. And we were trying to find a spot for his team. And so there was one interior, I'll call it a small office, more than a closet.
He did call it a closet, but we'll call it a small office.
I remember the space, and yeah, it was not ideal.
That's good.
For sure, but he'll never let me forget that.
Yeah, what a good friendship. What a great guy. Indeed. Doing great things. Another?
Yes, he's at Wells Fargo now and a phenomenal leader.
So. Good stuff. Well, speaking of the trenches, we have another mystery questioner who's going to help us unpack another of your leadership superpowers. So
great.
Listen in once again, if you could.
Hi, Dan and Dan. It's great to be with you both. As Dan Massey's business partner and his self-proclaimed best friend at work, I am very cognizant of his many superpowers, but I'd say the one I admire most is Dan's ability to talk tech and engineering and at the same time talk business and translate in both of those languages in a way that business leaders and technology leaders can understand and clearly follow. I kind of see Dan Massey as our translation layer often. And I'm curious, Dan, what experiences along your career helped you build that fluency and practice the fluency in such a way that made it a superpower for you?
So that's Kate Danella, who heads up our consumer business for Regions. And when I referenced earlier some of the best business partners I've ever had in my career, Kate is definitely at the top of that list.
She's impressive.
Very impressive.
Wow.
Absolutely. And just, I mean, incredibly smart, knows business well, connects with people, and just genuinely like a really good person. Mm. So it's an honor to have Kate ask that question. I would say that this is something that I have just always been a very kind of curious person. So I don't actually consider myself like a classically trained engineer. When I was probably 10 or 11, and I'm going to date myself with this, my dad brought home a Commodore VIC 20.
Nice.
And I started coding at that point, just kind of curious about how these things worked. Did the same thing with kind of hardware and just always wanted to understand that. Similar curiosity for some of the business processes when I got into banking. And then I'm curious about people, right? Mm. So I want to really understand what they're trying to accomplish, you know, what their objectives are, fears, hopes, all those types of things. And I think I've been fortunate where I've just seen a lot of instances, especially early in my career, where you had very well-intentioned, smart people just talking past each other, trying to communicate and connect on business requirements or technical design and all those types of things. And I think I was just fortunate to have the opportunity to have a communication method where I was curious enough to really understand both sides of that equation and kind of what each needed to be successful, and then create some of that translation layer. So it's something it's probably the thing I enjoy most about my role, is to be able to bring people together, clarify communications, clarify problem statements, and help us move the ball forward.
It's all starting to make sense, Dan. Starting to see the picture here. Very helpful. And thank you, Kate. That's a great question. And, you know, we found someone from your past who actually asked a question to kind of unpack your uncanny ability to diffuse situations, diffuse conflict. I always say it's always easy to add the humans, right? And that's when it gets really interesting.
Right.
So,
right.
Check out this next mystery question. You're going to have some fun with this one.
Okay. Thank you.
Hey, Dan, I guess I've got to pay you back for that mystery question that you sent me for my podcast with Dan Roberts. So I've got two questions for you. So number one, one of your uncanny abilities is your ability to deal with difficult situations with either conflicting agendas with your peers or maybe even senior management leaders who are arguing with each other or disagreeing with each other. You have that ability to navigate through all of that. How do you do that? How do you make that happen? I'd be really curious to hear that. And you did that often, by the way, when you worked for me as Digital Dan and many other roles.
So that's Anil Charian, a great mentor, leader, friend. Learned so much for Anil in my time working with him, and continue to stay in touch. So Anil, thank you for that question. That is payback, because I was a mystery questioner for him.
That's right.
And also, I'm honored by the call out on this. I think that, first of all, one of my kind of value sets, the things that motivate me, is I love helping people, whether that's customers or associates or partners. I love working with smart people, and I love solving complex problems. And one of the things I've noticed is when smart people using sound logic look at the same data, I've seen very rare instances where folks can't align and reach a good productive outcome to move the ball forward. So a lot of times when I see this type of conflict, there's data points missing on both sides, right? Something is kind of underneath the surface. And again, it kind of goes back to this curiosity. I really love being kind of a student of human behavior, and in the spirit of trying to help folks and help us achieve our objectives strategically, I try to spend some time as much as I can understanding kind of what's beneath the surface of any type of conflict that comes up. And this is something, by the way, you have to practice all the time. I'm still practicing it. But really understand, again, fears, motivations, objectives. What are things that might be unique to the vantage point, the perspective of the folks in the discussion? And then you assume good intent, you lean in. It really helps culturally to have an overarching purpose that's consistent and shared by all. Consistent strategies. And then if you can really kind of peel that onion back and understand where those data points are missing, shine a light on those. I've seen that to be a very effective method.
What a gift. Yeah. A good CIO friend of mine always says, you're entitled to your own opinion, but not your own facts.
Correct. So that's a good way to put it.
Get the data. Everyone's got the same.
That's right.
The same data.
That's right.
That team, going back to Anil, the team that you had there, pretty special.
Yes.
You know, you've all gone off to do, in fact, we might even hear from some of those people here in a minute, but you've all gone off to do really big things. But what was special about that team, and maybe how did that inform you as an executive now, as part of the executive leadership team?
Yeah. And you're right. It was a very special team. I have reflected on that frequently. I would say that a lot of it was based in trust. We were able to spend a lot of time working through some tough situations together, some really exciting, innovative opportunities, some you know, kind of really challenging problems that we had to work through. And what we always knew was that we had each other's back. We were aligned on what we were trying to accomplish. We had a kind of empathy for what the other was going through. And we held each other accountable in a really constructive, positive way. But we were looking for high performance. We're looking for outcomes versus just activities. And when you trust someone and you know that the intent is good, you can take feedback in a really positive way. Mm. And so we would push each other and sometimes pretty hard, because we knew the capabilities of the people on the team. We trusted each other to share feedback that was constructive and appropriate and would help us move the ball forward. And we were constantly learning, all of us together, just a voracious appetite to learn and improve individually and as a team. And so taking those lessons forward as you try to create new teams and guide teams, that's just been foundational to who I am as a leader today.
Yeah. Well, appreciate Anil again, and stay in close touch with him, as I know you do too.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So I've got, you know, I think you're kind of going down a path I want to double click on, which is the tricky balancing act of leadership, right? It's never a straight, easy path, right?
That's right.
You're always balancing different things. So I've
That's
got
right.
two mystery questioners that are going to kind of help us unpack that in Dan Massey terms. So check it out.
I definitely think that digital transformations are at the top of mind for everyone. Every organization is trying to think about how they're going to use their digital platforms for personalization. And so one of my major questions to Dan would be, you know, what are some of the big obstacles he's facing in doing a digital transformation with his organization? And what's holding him are challenging him with legacy systems as he's also adopting new technologies like AI, cloud computing, and blockchain, and bringing it all together.
Yeah, so that is Amit Shetty, a great leader, great friend, part of that leadership team that was so foundational back in the day. So Amit, thank you. Thank you for the question. It's a great question because I think a lot of tech leaders find themselves in a situation where you have to balance what I refer to sometimes as back to the basics and some fundamental things, dealing with tech debt, right? Cybersecurity is a constant area of focus. And you want to make sure you're also supporting business strategies, business capabilities, thinking about innovation. So I tend to think about it in terms of what are the business benefits that you really are trying to achieve in the longer term view. So I'm a big believer in enterprise architecture as a way to absorb business strategy, think about capabilities, think then about the technologies that support those business capabilities, and you embed in all of that, how do you secure it, scale it, operate it efficiently, et cetera. And I'm a big believer in this concept of kind of fit for purpose, meaning is the solution really the right solution for the problem? I tend not to prefer absolutes. Some folks will say, well, we're going to move everything to public cloud. Well, those types of blanket statements tend to sub-optimize in certain instances. We've got applications that run just fine in our data center, and we've also got applications that we want to outsource for various reasons for software as a service that doesn't need to run in our public cloud. So, and then there are some unique competitive advantage things we really want to harness the power of cloud to drive forward. So as we think about this urban planning and we think about the business outcomes we're trying to drive, there's a way to think about eradication of tech debt. How do you do that in a way that meets the near-term needs of the business and also sets you up for the future and as much flexibility as you can have there? And I think we're actually doing that at Regions. We're going through some fairly sizable legacy core system transformations. At the same time, we are working very closely with our business partners like Kate to define their top needs in the near term, their top needs in a 2-3, you know, in sometimes further out type of business strategy view. And every brick that we lay is a step toward that while we're kind of dealing with mitigating risks in the legacy system. So it is a unique challenge, but I think if you take a really strategic, thoughtful approach, it's actually a fun problem to solve.
And there's no absolutes.
No absolutes.
But then 2 years later, conditions might change, right?
Sure, so which is why that flexibility is so important. Creating a flexible modular architecture that can give you the creativity and the speed and the soundness to shift and do that at pace is something we're really focusing on.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Amit. He just got a big promotion. He's at Equifax.
That's right. That's
chief
right.
Imagine being the chief data officer
of
at
Equifax,
a data company.
Yeah.
Right? So
that's great.
Just had dinner with him in Atlanta a couple nights ago. So he
congrats, Amit. Yes.
Send his best.
Excellent.
I have another one of your former colleagues, and you know, great leaders build that muscle of being comfortable, being uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to just prep you a little bit. This next question might make you a little uncomfortable. Dan, okay. So how's that for a lead up?
No problem.
All right, let's listen in.
Hey, Dan, congratulations on this tech talk. This is an old friend, and I think it'd be great if you could share with the audience something maybe a little more personal. You and I have had a lot of conversations over the years on career choices and career path, but what I've always appreciated the most is our discussion around our family. You and I both happen to have children of the same gender and age and in the same order. And because of that relationship, you and I have often talked about the balancing act that has to come with career choices. While you have high schoolers and teenagers at home who also need dad and depend on your advice and you being present. So maybe you could share with the audience how you've gone about making those trade-offs, how it's worked out, and any advice you want to share.
Yeah, so that's a great question from a great leader, Scott Case, who is a phenomenal CIO, got to work for Scott and learned a ton from him and consider him a good close friend to this day. So, and I definitely remember those conversations, Scott. This is probably one of the biggest challenges I've had in my career is making sure that I have that type of balance. And many folks know this, but some may not, that probably a little over 10 years ago, my wife and I made a decision that we would, as I'm going to different markets to pursue my career that we would anchor the kids back in Virginia for, you know, they were in a great educational situation, a lot of community support there, so a lot of family. So I elected to travel Monday through Thursday to kind of the various locations. And I first want to acknowledge my wife of 30 years, Dana, who is an equal partner in everything that we do. I could not have done any of this without her. Appreciate her, you know, love, support, encouragement, patience, a lot of patience throughout all of this. But she's been phenomenal. She's the smart one in the relationship, I always tell people. So she is a huge factor in all of this. But that balance was really something that was very important to me. You know, the kids, especially when I started on the road, were younger, kind of 8 and 12. And there's a couple of things I did to try to help kind of balance that out. One is every single day I would talk to them at the end of the day, understand how the day went well, what didn't go well, what was on their mind, tell them I love them, tell them I can't wait to see them. So did that, you know, pretty much without fail the entire time, and still do that to this day as much as I can with the kids. They're older now, kind of off doing their thing, but certainly with Dana. And the other thing that I would do is when I had time with them, I tried to be very present. And again, in a tech career, there's always going to be some big install weekends. There's some production incidents you have to deal with. But if it was discretionary, it was that was their time. And I made sure that to make the absolute most of it. My daughter, Riley, is in her first year as a fifth grade elementary school teacher. My son, Hayden, just joined a pathway to a troopers program for the Virginia State Police. They have both been incredibly gracious, supportive, encouraging of me all the way through, even though I know it's been hard on all of us in different ways from time to time. So I could not be more fortunate to have such a great family.
Well, Scott, thank you for the question. I know these are things, you know, we wrestle with, right?
Yeah.
And his whole body language changed when we started talking, his whole demeanor, like, you know, just very, the family's first, right?
Yeah,
and you've got these big jobs, and he just became, he has your role now at Prudential.
That's right. Know,
technology and operations.
Yes.
So you guys, like I said, that team went off and are doing big, big things. But
yes.
What struck me last night over dinner is, as you were talking about your kids, you're very proud of them. Going back to your service.
Yes, that's right.
You know, they're serving other people.
That's right.
And that really means a lot to you to see them.
It does. I mean, it is fundamentally who they are. They're good people. They want to give back to the community. They want to focus on protecting folks and serving education, big education theme in my family. So we're incredibly proud of them.
Yeah. Well, this next question, kind of along those lines, serving others. You know, we've been in business 40 years. Always focus on developing the human side
yes.
of technologies. That's our passion. And as part of this podcast journey, we said, let's find a way to give back to our community, our profession. And as you know, we do that through our Tech for Good. And
right, that's right.
So we've had 36 amazing STEM nonprofits who have benefited from scholarships in our 9-month leadership program.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
you get a chance to gift a seat in that program. And it's going to be hard for you because you're involved with a lot of groups. You just came from a board meeting with one of your nonprofits.
I did, that's right.
But is there someone that you can think of that would really benefit from that program?
Well, it's actually, first of all, thank you for the opportunity to do this. It's a fantastic program, so very excited about it. And it's very timely that I just came from a board meeting with an organization called Innovation Depot based here in Birmingham. It is a tech startup incubator. And has some really strong programs, a great facility here in Birmingham with very ambitious goals around growing the number of startups that call Birmingham and Alabama home, helping them from anything from office space to talent recruitment to introduction to investors. And a lot of the times these are folks that are coming in with an idea, one or two people that then want to go on a growth path. So my selection is to have the scholarship go to Innovation Depot so that they can support some of these tech startup leaders and really be able to get the benefit of this type of incredibly valuable education program.
That's perfect. I am excited to learn more about them.
Yeah.
You know, you look at cities around the country that have become these incubators that are just innovation machines.
Mm-hmm.
And there's usually like an Innovation Depot type
yes.
group that was the spark.
Yeah.
And so
Innovation Depot represents almost half of the startup tech investment funding that's come to the state of Alabama. So they're a very important element
really
in this whole picture.
Really cool. Well, we started this a few years ago with the podcast, and we're now, I think, over $400,000 in commitments.
Fantastic.
So it's
that's great.
You know, we're just glad we can do that.
Yeah. So, thank you so certainly. Much.
So a couple more questions, Dan, because I know we're your day, you're just flying. We got a town hall coming up. You get 5,000 people. But I've got a couple more mystery questions for
sure.
you. And I think you're going to recognize this voice, but let's check it out.
You are known as the diplomat or peacekeeper in our family. Where do you think you got those talents from in your life?
Do you recognize that voice?
I do. That is my daughter, Riley.
That is your daughter.
Which, yeah, she's, that's a compliment coming to her because she's got incredible empathy and just caring and the ability to connect with people. And as I said, super proud of her and my son, Hayden. But Riley, thank you for the question. You know, this I think gets back a little bit to wanting to help people be happy and fulfill what they want to accomplish. And that in the context of Riley, that may be more on the personal family side, but I think it's equally applicable to any human interaction, really.
Sure.
So I really try to make sure that I'm treating people the way I would want to be treated and facilitate a path forward. So if there's conflict, if there's divergent agendas, finding the common ground, being maybe an objective person that can come in a really constructive way, show those additional data points and make sure that folks have the benefit of perspective from both sides. And I've had people do that for me, by the way. That's been a very valuable thing that has helped me in some instances. So, and that is something I will also say that I got a lot from my mom and her ability to connect with people. It's just really genuine, authentic care for people and the ability to kind of move those conversations forward. So it's a great question, Riley. Thank you for that.
I was so energized talking to her.
Yeah.
We chatted for a while. You know, it takes 2 minutes to record a question.
But, right.
And I said, what are you teaching? She goes, well, I'm, you know, she's like math and science. I'm like, well, you must've been really good in school. She goes, actually not. I'm like, how is it that you came to teach that? She goes, well, I thought that I could empathize with my students better because I struggled in math, so I'd be able to teach them better. I'm like, who does that? Does that sound like Riley?
Very much her. And I mean, she was a much better student than I ever was. She definitely leaned a little heavier into language versus the math side. But yeah, that sounds exactly like Riley. She's got a great group of kids, and they're fortunate to have each other, I think is what she would say.
Yeah. I kind of put her on the spot, Dan. So we were talking about superpowers, and I said, like, just on the fly, and it took her a split second to answer this question. I said, I'm not sure if you're into superheroes or not, but if your dad were a superhero, who would he be? It was so cool. She goes, Clark Kent. She goes, I'm like, why Clark Kent? She goes, you know, at home, and this is a testament to your decision about life and travel and being present. You know, she's like, when he's home, he's dad, you know?
Yeah.
And he's just cool and he's fun. But he's just dad. And then he goes off and he's Superman out there. Whatever he does out there, he's really good at it. But that was pretty
great.
Cool.
But part of the joke there is I for a period of time, I had glasses that I would wear at work and different glasses that I would wear at home. And it played into that whole Clark Kent thing a little bit, which is funny.
So. That's funny. That's funny. Good stuff. Well, thank you, Riley.
Yes, thank you, Riley.
So good. So I've got one more mystery question.
Okay.
And this is a fun fact that not everybody knows about you. So we've heard about Digital Dan. We've heard about Diplomat Dan. Mm-hmm. So we're going to hear another part about Dan. So okay. let's listen to this question. You'll tell us what this is all about.
Okay.
Hi there, Dan and Dan. As a fan and friend of Dan Massey's for many years, I'm honored to be one of his guest questioners on the Tech Whisperers. Here's my question. How has performing, writing, and producing music for many years shaped your approach to leadership?
So that is a very, very dear friend of mine, Will Jones. And Will is one of the most talented musicians, songwriters that I've ever met in my life. And I've had the very good fortune of being friends with him for 30 plus, maybe 35 years, and collaborate a lot, play some, you know, write some songs, play a lot of music together. And I would say it's a great question. Will, thank you for participating in this. I'll definitely get you back. I think the thing about music, first of all, it's a great outlet for me. So as you know, kind of you balance all the stress of the responsibilities of the job, having a creative space that is not, you know, had the intensity of problem solving the problem of the day or thinking about the big strategic questions, and really be able to just relax and collaborate is really a great kind of stress reliever for me. But I also do think there are a lot of parallels. When you think about music, there is a combination of creativity. There's a lot of technology involved. Even the fundamentals of music are math-based. Mm-hmm. When you think about that, there's mm-hmm. patterns. And the people element is heavy, heavy collaboration. So, you know, grew up as a bass player. You have to be in sync with the drummer. That helps drive the rest of the band, the tempo, et cetera. So you can be creative, you can improvise sometimes, but you still have to be fairly precise, which right. I think has a lot of applicability to how the team, which, by the way, I just want to brag on the team again, such incredible people that work here at Regions, whether you're in technology operations, the data analytics teams, or the digital team, to be able to come together with mm-hmm. all your parts and your instruments in a well-rehearsed, orchestrated, well-executed, but creative manner mm-hmm. to solve problems for customers and for the bank and for each other. I just think there's a lot of parallels to that. So I bring those lessons to the bank every day.
Incredible. So what's the name of the group that you and Will have been part of, the band?
The Shivers.
The Shivers.
Yes.
30 years, right? You guys have been
yes.
together a long time.
That's
so
right.
It's you, Will. You want to give a shout out to?
It's Will Jones, Ricky Tubb, who is multi-talented, but he's playing drums in this context. And then Lee Bowles, also incredible guitar player, violinist, piano. He does it all as well. And just dear, dear friends, just some of the best people you'll ever meet, nicest people. So it's a real pleasure not only play music with them, but just to have them in your life and be able to spend time with them.
Hope to meet them. Hope to hear
yeah.
your music someday. I want to wrap it up because you got a town hall coming up.
Yeah.
But you have a record, Comfort Records.
Yes.
Riley and I both want to know where the name come from.
Okay. So, and this is not a big deal. It's a kind of a side project thing. It was really a bit of an experiment to understand how that creative process could come together with technology, new, you know, digital release, getting into vinyl, just again, curiosity. How does that whole process work? And then really wanted to focus on emerging artists. So there's a young lady named Lila Moons. You should check her out. 18 years is the album, but she had never been in a studio before, had never really done recording, but very talented songwriter and performer. And we released an 8-song album last fall for her. So again, helping folks take the next step in their evolution as artists. And the origin of the name is a lot of times when you go either to a record label or a recording studio, you're paying by the hour. There's a lot of stress associated with that. You feel under the gun. And I wanted that the opposite of that for this. So the concept is I'm covering a lot of this stuff. People don't have to worry about looking at the clock. They can really focus on the art and the music, and they can be comfortable and do their thing.
So good. So good. Dan, thank you so much. This has been a blast. We've got to know.
My pleasure.
And in your music name, you go by Danny Massey. Just
yes.
I just want your team to know that, because that's a fun fact.
All through high school and to this day, a lot of close friends call
so
me
good.
Danny. Yeah.
Well, Dan, this has been really special. Thank you for allowing me to be here with you and to shine the light on some of your story. You know, we talked earlier. Dan came from a board meeting this morning. He ran here. We got this podcast going on, and we literally are going to transition into his town hall with his 5,000 team members. So I want to be respectful of his time. But you've had a chance to meet Digital Dan. You've had a chance to meet Diplomat Dan. You've had a chance to meet Danny Massey. the music side of his life, and also Dad Dan, which is all big, big parts of his life. We're going to spend some time later and we're going to unpack more of the parallels between Dan's music, 30 years of music as a producer, a recorder, musician, and the parallels between that and his leadership, his day job, his work. And I think it's going to be really fascinating. So look for a CR.com article in 1 week with more on Dan. And I'm going to leave you with one thing. We normally have our outro music. We're going to switch it up. We're going to take and put one of Dan's songs as the outro. So enjoy that. And again, Dan, thanks so much.
Time.